I'm Mark Mallett. This is the Now Word for February 26, 2016. It is now day 15 of our Lenten retreat. And listen, if any of you have ever been to one of my retreats before, then you know that I prefer to speak from the heart because I find it leaves room for the Lord or Our Lady to do whatever they want, like change the subject. And today is one of those moments. So I sat down with a plan today and the Lord chuckled at it. So I just kind of set it aside and decided to go with His idea. So today I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to share with you an intimate testimony. Yesterday we reflected on the gift of salvation, which is also a privilege and calling to bear fruit for the kingdom. As St. Paul said in Ephesians, now listen carefully, this is one of the most misquoted and misunderstood scriptures in Christendom, especially among our Protestant brothers and sisters. Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast." But then listen to the next sentence, Paul says, "For we are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them." You know, St. John the Baptist said, "Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance." So God has saved us precisely so that we can become His handiwork, another Christ in the world. And yes, it's a narrow and difficult road, because it demands a rejection of temptation. But the reward is life in Christ. And for St. Paul, there was nothing on earth that compared. Listen to what he said to the Philippians. "I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him." And so with that, I want to share with you an intimate testimony, a calling down the narrow pilgrim road in the first year of my marriage. In fact, this is timely, I think, today, given the Pope's controversial comments recently on contraception. Well, like most Catholic newlyweds, neither my wife Leah nor I knew much about the Church's teaching on birth control. It wasn't mentioned in our engagement encounter course, nor at any other time during our wedding preparations, and we'd never heard, not once, from the pulpit, one homily or teaching on it. And it wasn't something that we had thought to discuss much with our parents. And if our consciences were pricked, well, we were able to quickly dismiss it as an unreasonable demand. So, when our wedding day neared, my fiancé did what most women do. She started taking the pill. Well, about 8 months into our marriage, we were reading a publication, and it revealed that birth control can be an abortificant. That is, a newly conceived child can be destroyed by the chemicals in some contraceptives. So not only does the pill, can it stop a pregnancy, but it can actually destroy one in some cases. And we were horrified. I mean, had we unknowingly ended the life of one or even several of our own children? Again, I was horrified. And so Leah and I quickly learned the Church's teaching on artificial contraception. And we decided then and there that we were going to follow what Peter's successor, Paul VI in particular, was teaching us and telling us on this. After all, I was bothered by cafeteria Catholics who would pick and choose whatever teachings of the Church they would follow and those they wouldn't. And here I was doing the same thing. Well, we went to confession shortly after, and we began to learn about the natural ways that a woman's body signals the onset of fertility so that a couple can plan their family naturally within God's design. Now, here's the thing. The next time we united as husband and wife, there was a powerful release of grace that left us both weeping in each other's arms, immersed in a profound presence of the Lord that we'd never experienced before. And then suddenly we remembered. This was the first time we united ourselves without birth control, the first time we truly gave of ourselves, one to the other, holding back nothing of ourselves, including the awesome power and privilege to procreate. Well, there's a whole lot of talk these days about how contraception prevents pregnancy, but there's very little discussion on what else it prevents, namely the full union of husband and wife. Contraception is like a condom over the heart. It says, I'm not fully open to the possibility of life. And didn't Jesus say he was the way, the truth, and the life? Well, whenever we exclude or deter life, we exclude and deter in some way the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. For this reason alone, birth control has silently divided husbands and wives in ways they cannot comprehend. It has prevented the deepest unity of souls, and therefore the deepest of unifying and sanctifying graces, life himself, Jesus, who is the third partner of every sacramental marriage. Well, is it any wonder then that scientific surveys have found the following results among couples who do not use artificial contraception? Dr. Robert Lerner's study at physiciansforlife.org found this, that couples who don't use contraception have a dramatically low divorce rate, 0.2%, compared to 50% in the general public. They experience happier marriages. They are happier and more satisfied in their everyday lives. They have considerably more marital relations with one another. They share a deeper intimacy with spouse than those who contracept, and they realize a deeper level of communication with their spouse. Well, I have to say that those points that for Leah and I, these are true. I know that every one of them is true for Leah and I, especially after we stopped contracepting. Well, within a year of our decision to do so, we began to follow the teachings of the church put forth in the encyclical Humanae Vitae, which I really recommend that you read. It's a short document from Pope Paul VI. It's beautiful. It's prophetic. You'll see that he prophesied what would happen to our culture if we embraced contraception. Well, within that first year, after following God's plan for married love, our first daughter, Tiana, was conceived. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table and saying to my wife, and it's like a light came on. And I said, it's like we're an apple tree. The very purpose of an apple tree is to bear fruit. It's natural and it's good and it's what we're made to do. So children in our modern culture are often viewed as an inconvenience or at the very most an acceptable fashion if you have only one or maybe two. Any more than three is perceived as distasteful or even irresponsible. But children are the very fruit of married love, fulfilling one of the essential roles designed by God for a husband and wife. As he said in Genesis from the very beginning, be fertile and multiply. Well, since that time, God has truly blessed Lee and I with 7 more children. We have 3 daughters, followed by 5 sons, and we had them in that order. 3 girls, we had the babysitters first, and then the 5 boys. Well, they weren't all planned. There were some surprises in there. And I have to admit, sometimes Lee and I felt overwhelmed amidst job layoffs and accumulating debt. And of course, in most of these years, we've been in ministry. So we've been living on divine providence. And we felt overwhelmed until we held them in our arms and then couldn't imagine life without them. You know, people laugh when they see us pile out of our long gas-guzzling van or when we used to travel in our concert tour bus. You know, I remember one time we were traveling in a 40-foot diesel pusher, and I got to our next concert venue, and the organizer greeted me, and I stepped out of it, and he looked at the tour bus, and he said, oh my goodness, this thing is big. And then when he saw my wife and all my kids step out, he said, oh my gosh, this thing is small. So, you know, we are stared at in restaurants. We are gawked at in grocery stores. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard somebody say, are all these yours? And then I remember once during a family bike ride, a teenager caught sight of us and exclaimed, look, a family. You know, for a moment, I thought we were in China. There was another time, in fact, and it was actually kind of sad, a Chinese couple stopped us on the street. And they were pointing at all our kids, and they took their camera out and started taking pictures, you know. And I'm thinking of them with their one-child policy and how grievous that must be for them. But, you know, both Lee and I recognize that the decision for life has been an overwhelming gift and grace. You know, above all, the friendship with Leah since that decisive day has only grown, and our love deepened despite the growing pains and the difficult days that come to any relationship. You know, it's hard for me to explain this, but when you permit God to enter into your marriage, even in its most intimate details, there is always a newness, a freshness that keeps one falling in love over and over again as the creative Spirit of God opens up new vistas of union. Jesus said to the apostles, "Whoever listens to you listens to me." Even the more difficult teachings of the church, brothers and sisters, will always, always bear fruit. For Jesus said, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In summary, then, the call of the pilgrim is a call to obedience, but an invitation to joy. For Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete."